Lauren Southern and Stefan Molyneux have just left Australia after causing a big stir. Bureaucrats tried to stop Lauren getting a visa into the country, and there were big demonstrations, and one state government tried to bully the organisers of the tour with a $68,000 bill for police protection. Both of these YouTube heroes have done a lot of good work. I've been following Lauren for many years. Ever since she was a student, she was in some ghastly gender studies course and making videos about some of the ideological rubbish she was being taught. And Stefan is a very smart bloke. He makes thoughtful videos about all manner of important topics. But I'm fascinated by their take on promiscuity and women's early sexual activity. This is one area where I think both of them go off the rails. But I should say something about where I'm coming from here. My background is actually clinical psychology, and I started off as one of Australia's first sex therapists back in the 1970s, when there was a total double standards, with single males getting all this kudos for seducing women, while females were always at risk of losing their reputations. And I spent my whole career promoting respectful, equal relationships between men and women, although in recent years, of course, I'm concentrating on the demonisation of men and trying to stop that. So with this sort of background, I hope you'll see why it is that it rankles when Lauren Southern is calling out promiscuous women, warning they're going to ruin their chances of stable marriages by bed hopping from an early age.
Promiscuity has devastating impacts on women's ability to pair bond and form lasting stable relationships that she needs for her happiness. And this isn't a fact that I like. It's not a fact that I want to be true. I want people to be happy and free to make all of the choices and decisions they want without consequences. But the reality is, there are lasting consequences, and I can't change that. And women need to understand the consequences of their choices and make informed decisions based on that. And luckily, that is already happening. Women are starting to understand that maybe all of this sexual liberation wasn't the brightest idea, and that in the long run, a rich family life surrounded by love and children is preferable to being a cat lady.
This is crazy stuff. Of course, too much casual sex can take a toll on men and on women. In all the decades I've been talking to people about their sex lives, I've come across many who end up having sexual relationships that aren't good for them. And of course, it's a particular problem for women who often find it much harder to cope with sex without any emotional involvement. It's hugely disappointing for women who hope sex is going to be the start of something wonderful and then discover that's all he wanted. But Lauren has based her video on some really dubious research, which claims to show this direct correlation between the number of sexual partners and all sorts of really disastrous consequences like failed marriage or single motherhood, sexually transmitted diseases, endless doom and gloom. She's singing from the same songbook as Stefan Molyneux, who made a famous video called The Truth About Sex. And that's been seen by over 750,000 people. YouTubers are always recommending it to me. And I find it really shocking that so many people have seen it and seem to think it makes sense because it's simplistic, misleading nonsense. Here's Stefan with his video, The Truth About Sex.
So contrasted with women who began sexual activity in their early 20s, girls who initiated sex at ages 13 or 14 were less than half as likely to be in stable marriages once reaching their 30s. If it's 12 or younger, you have a less than 19% chance of being in a stable marriage. If you started in your 20s, 68% likelihood of being in a stable marriage. This is very important when it comes to choosing your partners in the future. This is the data you need to know to make an informed decision.
Stefan is using data from a Heritage Foundation report, which is advocacy research at its worst. As he should realise, it's not an informed decision to assume that the reason women have unstable marriages is because they had sex really early. He's confusing correlation with causation, and that's something that's taught in Statistics 101. A smart guy like Stefan should know the difference. I mean, he's the one who's always telling us to look at the evidence. There's a great website about these sort of spurious correlations which explains this beautifully. So the divorce rate in Maine is correlated with margarine consumption, But do you really think that spreading your toast with margarine is leading to divorce? And what about the correlation between cheese consumption and tangled bed sheets? It's all madness, of course. Think about the women you know who started sex really early. I mean, proper research tells us a lot about this group. We have decades of research showing they're more likely to be from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. They're more likely to be poorer, less educated families, who also tend to have higher divorce rates or family breakup rates. And many of them don't marry. They just have kids in de facto relationships. So this sort of background is what's called a confounding variable. It may be there's unstable homes, which mean they grow up with single mums and poorer supervision, which lead to both the early sex and their own unstable marriages. There's also been decades of research showing that fatherlessness is linked to early sexual activity in girls, teenage pregnancy, abortion, and future unstable marriages. It's just one more possible confounding variable amongst many. So the link between early sex and unstable marriage is a spurious correlation, like those tangled sheets and cheese consumption. Now, here's Stefan at it again, but this time claiming lots of sexual partners lead to unstable marriages.
So look at these odds. If you only have had sex with the man that you get married to, then you have a greater than 80% chance when you're over 30 of being in a stable marriage, of retaining a stable marriage. If you've had one sexual partner outside of your husband or future husband, then this drops from 80.5% to 53.6% chance of maintaining a stable marriage. And as you can see, this goes down and down and down. It's mostly dose dependent, but not entirely. If you've had 16 to 20 non-marital sexual partners, your odds of staying in a stable marriage are only 17.8%. Compare that to over 80% for zero.
Think about that one. Who these days is a virgin when they marry? Chances are very high they come from conservative religious backgrounds. Precisely the type of background which also helps people remain committed in their own marriages. So one of the confounding variables is conservatism or religiosity. At the other end of the spectrum, the young feminist who thinks it's only fair for her to behave like many men and enjoy lots of sexual relationships is also precisely the sort of woman who's less likely to stay in an unhappy marriage. It's her feminist attitudes that are more likely to be the causal link to the breakup of her marriage, not the fact she had lots of sex beforehand. So these issues are really complex. And Lauren and Stefan aren't doing anyone any favours by pretending it's all so simple and putting the blame on women's promiscuity for all sorts of social ills. We also need to think about what's happening for women now that our society has decided to delay the age of first marriage. For the last 40 years, it's shifted from the early 20s to the late 20s. I actually think that's been a real mistake, but it's been largely driven by women who were told by everybody that it was best for them to get educated and established in their careers before settling down. That's led to plenty of women struggling to find mates in their early 30s during those critical years for their declining fertility. And that's been a disaster for many women, and there's a good argument that women who want kids should try to find partners far earlier. But Lauren seems to have bought into this nonsense that by 30 it's all over for women. Our sexual value drops through the floor, she says.
Are extremely valuable and beautiful to a lot of people. Now, if I just finished the sentence there, that would be a truth that not a lot of people would be afraid to tell you. In fact, you've probably heard it time and time again. But what people are afraid to do is to finish that sentence. You are extremely valuable, but that value diminishes over time. And I don't mean the value of your soul or the kind deeds that you do, which can potentially be beautiful forever, but I mean your sexual market value and your desirability as a potential partner and wife. And you can go ahead and blow that off as something that you don't care about. You don't care about sexual market value or what men think of you. But the reality is that it is one of the most important assets of our lives as females.
I've got news for you, Lauren. Sure, most men find younger women really attractive, and it's natural many would love to have one of them on their arm. But they don't get them, do they? Unless an older man has serious pulling power through having acquired major assets or power or money or status, he's going to end up only being able to attract women roughly in his own age group. Most of us don't get stranded without a partner, even though our market value is declined since we're cute young things. There are plenty of people in all age groups pairing up, and usually with partners their own age. According to the 2013 US census stats, 66% of women in all age groups are married to men somewhere between 1 to 5 years older than themselves. So dream on, all you judgmental guys. You could decide to write off all women over 30, but chances are the gorgeous young things won't end up with you. Now think what happens to the numbers of sexual partners when we delay marriage for a decade. If you start your sexual relationships in your early 20s, the numbers are going to stack up, aren't they? What makes me really mad is Lauren and Stefan seem to assume that a woman's sexual history is driven only by her own desires. All those sex-craved nymphomaniacs are madly hopping into bed with men because they can't get enough sex. That's so much rubbish. And of course there are young women who are really into sex and have no problem with having lots of hookups, like plenty of young men. But my long experience is that with women, these are a minority. Most women are looking for something more. For a start, most women know they'll get very little sexual pleasure from going to bed with a stranger. Look, there's research showing women are less likely to reach orgasm in a new relationship. It takes time for most women to feel relaxed enough to enjoy sex with someone new, which is why one reason why very few women choose to sleep around. There's no doubt an awful lot of young women have more sex than they want, and that's because they're looking for a boyfriend or they're trying to find a relationship, and the only way they can do that is by going to bed with a man. Sadly, that often won't work out, and she's left with another notch on her bed, but not necessarily the one she wanted. Think about that, guys. All of you out there sneering at women who get burnt on the cock carousel, how about thinking about who's doing the pushing here? Many women end up with more sexual partners than they want because they're looking for a boyfriend. They fear they'll lose the guy if they don't give in when he's hassling her for sex. I imagine there are very few women out there who haven't had the experience of a male who makes it very clear that if you don't come across, he'll move on. I spent years doing online dating coaching, endlessly talking to women who felt under pressure to have sex with new dates long before they were ready. Sure, it's true we need to help women resist that type of pressure, but it's coming from guys, and it's not as if women like it when the numbers start to stack up. If you read the women's magazines, you'll find endless articles about whether women should even tell men about the number of partners they've had. Women know that many men are threatened by a woman who's had a lot of sexual experience, and they're right to be nervous. This rubbish from Lauren and Stefan and others like them simply makes it all worse.
A man's wealth is measured in accomplishments, strength, and resources, and men are born ignorant, weak, and destitute. A woman's wealth is measured in youth, fertility, and chastity, and women are born young, fertile, and chaste. A man can accumulate wealth and power over time, but a woman cannot become younger or more chaste.
So what are these people actually suggesting? That women remain virgins until they get married? That may have been good advice when everyone got married when they were young, when they were early 20s. But women staying chaste for another decade until they're 30, that's just not going to happen. And luckily, there are a lot of sensible males up there who wouldn't want it that way. Males who don't believe the line these guys are pushing. Many males are very happy to be with women who've had their fair share of sexual experience and believe that makes them more mature, accepting partners than naive virgins. It's a wonderful thing that we live at a time when sexuality is part of learning to establish strong, loving relationships. Of course, there are risks that come with sexual liberation, but that just means we need to learn to look after ourselves and treat our partners with respect and kindness rather than labeling and judging people. Stefan obviously hasn't a clue what's happening in marriages today.
Now, sexual restraint, to be realistic and fair and to avoid the stigma of, you're just a square, you're a prude, man, you just want us to not even have any sex. But the reality is that people who are in stable long-term marriages report the happiest and best sex lives of everyone. So when people are saying, well, you know, it might be a good idea not to cast sperm and eggs around like you're playing lacrosse, it might be a good idea to wait and focus on one person you're going to have sex with for the rest of your life. Nobody's saying, and therefore don't have sex. What they're saying is, that's going to give you the best sex. That's going to give you the most sex, the most satisfying sex, and that is the reality of what the data tell us. So it's not anti-sexual. It's not anti-pleasure. It's not anti-hedonism of the marital bedroom. What it is saying, well, look, if you wait, it's going to be better. I mean, you won't have, you'll have much less chance of getting a disease. You'll have much less chance of having an abortion. You'll have much less chance of having a divorce. And all of that will contribute to, you know, a happy tsunami of sexual pleasure for your whole life.
Oh, sure, Stefan, a tsunami of sexual pleasure. Tell that to the millions of married men who aren't getting any sexual pleasure at all, because feminists have taught their wives that they don't, if they don't feel like it, there's no reason to have sex. Married people on average have more and better sex than single people, simply because most single people are out there trying to meet prospective mates rather than madly leaping into bed with them. There's a huge problem in marriage today with a growing desire gap between men and women, and far too many sex-starved men desperate for a tiny wave, let alone a tsunami of sex. Look at these graphs showing a drop in sexual desire in newly wed women, and the growing gap between men and women as they age. Both of these are from US research, which should be published soon. It may be true that more conservative women are more likely to be sexually generous and believe in taking care of their husband's needs. I made a video a while back with Karen Strawn talking about how feminism has screwed sex for men by teaching women that if they don't feel like sex, they should just reject their partners. But there are very experienced women out there who also believe in looking after their men, just as there are sexually naive women who end up buying the feminist message. Stefan and Lauren are smart, courageous people preaching some very good messages about what's going wrong in our society, but slut-shaming isn't one of them.